And if you'd like to be turning in your Bibles to Psalm 51, you may know the bit that's, well, the heading tells us, to the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, that is when he had committed adultery, and this is his response to being challenged on that. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again. Thank you. Can I just say, please keep that passage open in front of you. If you don't have it yet, please turn to it. It's on page 568, because what follows in the next few minutes will not make a lot of sense if we don't have the Bible passage open in front of us. Can I also say, though, thank you again for the conference yesterday and Friday. I particularly want to say thank you to you as a church family for what you did. I was blown away by it. I have to say, your hospitality was extraordinary, both in terms of your welcome, the way you looked after people, the food and the drink and the stewarding and the music. It was just an extraordinary thing for a local church to do, and I think it's wonderful. So thank you. I'm a fan. Right, now that we're friends, we can look at the Word of God together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have your word in our hands. Please take our lives into your hands and speak into them. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've called this psalm and I've called this sermon a prayer which changes lives, because this is actually one of the Bible passages that's changed my life most in the last year. I've become very excited about Psalm 51 and what God has done in my life through Psalm 51. This is a psalm that changes lives. And it's certainly a psalm that changed King David's life. Martin read to us right at the beginning of the psalm. It says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Do you know the story? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he arranged for the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And here was King David, God's king, doing this. And God sent this prophet Nathan to him and confronted him with the reality of what he'd done. And so David repented. David admitted his sin, he confessed his sin, he turned away from his sin, and he wanted to ask God for forgiveness. And the prayer that he prayed is Psalm 51. So this psalm is a prayer that changed David's life, and I believe it's a prayer that can change our lives too. This is about personal repentance. Have a look at the first two verses, please. They're about personal repentance. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. You can hear David's heart, can't you? You can see him, hear him calling out to God, asking for forgiveness, asking for God to wipe these sins away. This is personal repentance. And it's very clear why he thinks he can ask God this. See what he says about God in verse 1? He says God has mercy and God has steadfast love. David says, I can come to you and I can ask you to forgive me my sins because you are merciful and because you are loving. And that's why this personal repentance happens in this psalm. And the rest of the psalm is David praying, David repenting, David coming back to God. If we want to come back to God, and we need to do that again and again and again, don't we? Then there are three things we need to tell God. And they are the three things that David tells God here in this psalm. So let's look at this psalm together. Let's be open to the Holy Spirit. Feel free to be talking to the Lord while you are reading and listening. It would be great if the worship didn't stop now that we've stopped singing. It would be great if we were talking to the Lord. You can be talking to the Lord now, and I can be talking to the Lord now as I talk to you. It really is possible to do two things at once. First thing, I need to tell God what I'm like. What I'm like. That's in verses 3 to 6. Have a look at verse 3. David says that he's dirty. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. My sin is always before me. I'm dirty. I know that I'm dirty. I know that I've messed up. I'm dirty. And David knows that he's guilty. He tells God this. Verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Actually, that's not true, literally, is it? Because he'd sinned against Bathsheba, because he'd slept with her. And he'd sinned against Uriah by having him killed. This verse 3 is verse 4 is a Hebrew way of saying, yes, I sinned against Bathsheba. Yes, I sinned against Uriah, but the person I've sinned most against is you, Lord. That's what David means when he says, against you, you only have I sinned. It's as if I haven't sinned against anyone else. This is so terrible what I have done. When we sin, it's like we're spitting in God's face. I'm dirty, says David. I'm guilty, says David. That's why he says at the end of verse 4, so that you, God, may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. It would be absolutely right for you to punish me because I'm guilty. I'm dirty. I'm guilty. And in verse 5, David says, I'm rotten. I'm rotten. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. David doesn't mean that his mother was committing adultery when she conceived him. What he means is this, and this is very serious stuff. I did not become a sinner when I got into bed with Bathsheba. I was born a sinner. I came into the world with this natural rebellion against you, God. I am a born sinner. Of course, that doesn't mean that there aren't good things about us. Of course, there are good things. God is speaking to us. Verse 6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. God is even speaking to people when they're in the womb, but he's speaking to us now. He's speaking to everybody. But we are still rotten. We're born sinners. There's something wrong in the core of us, in the heart of us. So the first thing we need to do is we need to tell God what we're like. I'm dirty, I'm guilty, and I'm rotten. Now you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't need to tell God that because he knows. Yeah, but he wants us to tell him. In the prophecy of Hosea in the Old Testament, God says through Hosea, come to me and bring words. That's Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Come to me and bring words. We need to tell God what we're like. It's very freeing. Maybe it's embarrassing too, but he does know already. He's not going to be shocked. But it's freeing to say to God, I'm dirty, I'm guilty, I'm rotten. It will do us good. You can even be lifting your heart up and saying that to God now. Tell God what we're like. The second thing David tells God in verses 7 to 12, he tells God what he wants. What he wants. The first thing he wants is forgiveness. We've already seen that in the first two verses, haven't we? But it's here again. Look at verse 7, please. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And it's there in verse 9 as well. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. He's asking God to wipe the slate clean. He's asking God to forgive him. I nearly called this, put the heading there, instead of what I want, I nearly wrote what I need. Because everybody in this room and everybody in Leipzig and everybody on the planet needs forgiveness from God. But the thing is, not everybody wants it. Do you want forgiveness from God? David wants it and he tells God that he wants it. That's why he asks God to forgive him. That's the first thing he wants from God. He wants forgiveness. The second thing may come as a surprise. It came as a surprise to me. I think it's really interesting that it's here. The second thing he wants from God is joy. Have a look at verse 8, please. David says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. He asks for joy. Now, what's this doing here? Why, after asking for forgiveness, does he find himself asking for joy? Well, I'll tell you, and I think this makes sense, and I will be able to tell from the expression on your faces whether it makes sense to you or not. So get ready to encourage me. Let's bring this into the New Testament. When someone becomes a Christian, when someone puts their trust in Jesus, they're forgiven and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside them. And the Holy Spirit gives people joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Every Christian experiences joy, sometimes more, sometimes less. It'll vary according to your personality, but the Holy Spirit gives joy. But isn't it true, according to your experience, if you're a Christian, when you sin, your joy disappears? The Holy Spirit doesn't. He's still there. We never need to pray what David prays here in verse 11. Second half of verse 11, he prays, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." We don't need to pray that. We're in the new covenant. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and he lives in us now and forever. That's very clear. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart when you become a Christian, and he stays. But the joy goes, and the joy goes when we sin, because we're grieving the Spirit. We're making the Spirit sad. Here's the principle. When I choose sin, I lose joy. Doesn't that fit with your experience? Or maybe none of you ever chooses sin. Hypocrites. When I choose sin, I lose joy. When I've chosen sin, I feel flat, I feel down, I feel depressed. I may have asked God for forgiveness, so I know I'm forgiven, but I still feel down, still feel empty, still feel depressed. I think that's what David's experiencing here, and so he says to God, "Please give me joy." It's a great prayer. He says it in verse 8, I've already read it. He says it also in at the beginning of verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I've asked quite a lot of Christians, since I got enthusiastic about this psalm, I've asked quite a lot of Christians if they ever pray that God would give them joy. And hardly anybody ever does. And that may be a British thing. So it may be different here. It may be British. Well, it's a very selfish praying for joy. I can't possibly do that. But it's nonsense. We should be praying for joy. Ask God for joy. When did you last, well, don't think about when you last asked God for joy. Ask God for joy. You can do it now. And joy, let me be clear about this. This is a feeling. It's not just something up here. Joy is a feeling. It'll vary according to who you are, according to your personality, how that's experienced. But joy is a feeling. Ask God for joy. So David says, what I want is forgiveness. I want joy. And the third thing he wants, you don't even need to look at your Bible to know what the third thing's going to be. We will look at the Bible, don't worry. The third thing he asks for is power, so that he won't keep messing up again. So that he won't do the same sin the next time he sees a woman who's as beautiful as Bathsheba. So here it comes. Create in me a clean heart, verse 10, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And at the end of verse 12, uphold me with a willing spirit. That's a prayer for power that he won't do it again. That he'll start living differently. This makes so much sense to me. It fits absolutely with my experience. When I sin, when I've messed up, that I should ask for forgiveness and joy and power. Power to begin to live differently. I think it's so exciting that it's here. Now, if you are someone who's struggling with a particular sin and it gets you again and again and again, and you ask God for forgiveness and then the next day you do it again and it's a real problem, it feels too strong for you, don't give up. Don't think you're the only one. You are not the only one. It's very common that we struggle with sin. If there is a particular sin that's bearing you down, that's pulling you down, and that you're thinking of now, it may be good to think, is there someone in the church family I could talk to who I trust, and just share this and ask them to pray for me regularly? They could pray with you, and they could pray for you regularly, and sometimes ask you how you're getting on. But please don't give up. Don't beat yourself up, but maybe ask for help. So if we want to come to God, if we want to repent, if we want to experience God in our lives, I need to tell God what I'm like. I need to tell God what I want. And thirdly, in verses 13 to 17, I need to tell God what I'll do. What I'll do. Because that's what's happening here. Have a look at verses 7 to 12. David has said to God what he wants. He's asked for forgiveness. And then see how verse 13 begins. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. So in other words, when God forgives him, this is now what David's going to do. He's now telling God what he's going to do. Here's what David says he'll do. And they're great things for us to say to God that we'll do as well. Firstly, verse 13, he says he's going to witness. Verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. I'm going to tell other people how great it is to know that you're forgiven. It is stunning to know that we're forgiven. God is a wonderful God who is so gracious. We are forgiven. God forgives us completely. So it's worth telling other people about it. Witness. Telling other people what a great thing it is no longer to have a bad conscience, but to know that you're forgiven. Witness is the first thing. The second thing David will do, he will worship. Look at verse 14, please. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. I will find myself singing, Lord. If you know that you've been forgiven, if you know that you've been set free from the punishment of your sins, actually it's quite hard not to sing. This is about worship. I don't think singing is an optional extra. I think if we've been forgiven, it's a natural thing to sing. Some of us will sing more beautifully than others. A few people are looking at their neighbour and as if to say, yes, you're one of the ones that doesn't sing so beautifully. That doesn't matter. But there will be something in our heart that says, it is so extraordinary that God has forgiven me. I want to worship. I want to praise God. I want to sing. Of course, it's not just singing. But have a look at verse 15. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. It's not just singing here on a Sunday. We can be worshiping while we're walking down the street to the bus stop. You can be just thanking the Lord for who he is and for what he's done for you. You can be worshipping while you're lying in bed waiting to fall asleep. You can be worshipping while you're sitting here now. But it's a natural reaction if we know that God has forgiven us. We want to worship him. We want to praise him. That's true, isn't it? So David says, this is what I'll do. I'll witness. I'll worship. And the third thing is, he says, I'll keep repenting. Have a look at verse 16, please. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. This is another Hebrew way of writing. This makes it sound as though David is saying God didn't like the animal sacrifices in the temple and the burnt offerings in the temple. That's not what he means at all. This is a Hebrew way of saying you don't like these things if the heart is not involved. Of course God gave the sacrificial system to the Jewish people. That was part of his plan there in the Old Testament. But David is saying, if our heart is not in it, there's no point in doing this stuff. And so in verse 17, David says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So he says, I'm going to keep repenting. I'm going to keep being intolerant of my sin. And when I sin, I'm going to tell you that I am dirty, guilty, and rotten. When I sin, I'm going to tell you that I want forgiveness, joy, and power. And when I sin, I'm going to witness, I'm going to worship, and I'm going to keep repenting. Repentance is not just for day one of becoming a Christian. Repentance is for every day, because we're still sinners. If you're a Christian, you're a forgiven sinner, but you're still a sinner. And so we need to keep repenting. And then the conclusion of the psalm, verses 18 and 19. Let me just read these two verses. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is talking about the community repentance. This is talking about the community of God's people in the Old Testament, repenting together, bringing their sacrifices, but of course with a broken and a contrite heart. Sometimes it's right that the whole community repents. It's great that at the beginning of our service, we confess our sins together. Of course we can do that individually, but it's good to confess our sins together. Sometimes there is a need for community repentance. So if we want to enjoy a relationship with God, then we need to tell God three things. I need to tell God what I'm like. I need to tell God what I want. And I need to tell God what I'll do. But let me just ask David a question. David, you've written this psalm and you've asked God for forgiveness. How is it possible that God forgives you? How is that possible? And David would say, well, you obviously haven't read verse 1 properly. He'd point me to verse 1 and he'd say, look, it says here, God has mercy and God has steadfast love and God has abundant mercy. That's why I think God can forgive me. And then I'll say to David, but that doesn't quite cut it. It's great that God is like that, merciful and loving, but he's just. He must punish sin. He must punish sin. So David, how is it possible that he could not punish you for your sin and forgive you? How is that possible? And I don't think David would have an answer to that. He would know that the animal sacrifices in the end were not the solution to the problem. But many of us here this morning thinking, well, actually, I know why it's possible. It's possible because of Jesus. Who took the punishment for David's adultery with Bathsheba? Jesus did. Who took the punishment for David's murder of Uriah? Jesus did. Who took the punishment for our sins? Jesus did. It's the most important thing about the Christian faith, isn't it? That Jesus is the eternal Son of God and that he came into the world to go to the cross and to pay the to take the punishment for our sins. Hallelujah. He died so that we could be forgiven. He's paid the price. So we're not forgiven because of what we do for God. We are forgiven because of what God did for us at the cross. Is that good news or is that good news? You're right. It's good news. It is extraordinary. And that should get us worshipping, shouldn't it? It should get us saying, hey, I want to go into this week living with God, living for Jesus. And when I mess up, and I will mess up, I'm going to tell God what I'm like. I'm going to tell God what I want. And I'm going to tell God what I'll do. And if we live like that, this prayer, I pray this prayer quite often. I haven't learned off by heart Psalm 51, but I just pray. I tell God these three things, what I'm like, what I want, and what I'll do. And this prayer is changing my life. It's changing my relationship with the Lord. I really recommend it. Why don't some of us try it? Some of us may already be praying it now. Instead of just sitting there thinking, what is this guy talking about? So I want to encourage us to go into this week praying this prayer, using this prayer. And if you haven't prayed that God would give you joy for quite a long time, then I encourage you to do it. And God may surprise you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Just a brief silence in which we can make our own response to God. Those headings are still up on the screen. Maybe you want to use those. Or maybe there's just one particular thing that struck you. Maybe praying for joy. Let's just pray in the silence for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a short prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Father, thank you that you are loving and merciful, and that we have seen that so clearly at the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took our sins onto your shoulders, and you paid the price so that we could be forgiven. We worship you. And Father, I pray for myself and for all of us here that we will be trusting in Jesus as we go into this new week, and that we will be ready again and again to come and tell you what we're like, what we want, and what we'll do. And Father, especially I pray for all of us, especially for those of us who maybe are struggling with a particular sin, we pray that we would experience your forgiveness, your joy, and your power. And we ask all these things for the glory of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. Amen.